Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. State lawmakers return to Raleigh in just over 2 weeks, with a state facing a $3.7 billion budget shortfall and with Republicans controlling both the House and Senate for the first time in more than 100 years. Democratic Senator Josh Stein says he is eager to see how Republicans propose to balance the budget, given their promises not to raise taxes and not to devastate public education. Stein joins us now to talk about the budget and proposals to privatize the state ABC system and to close Dorothea Dix Hospital in Raleigh. Well, Senator Stein, thanks for being back with us.
Thank you, Chris. Looking forward to it.
I know you were in attendance this week, this past week at an economic forecast forum where there was a lot of discussion about the state's economy and the budget. What was your sort of sense of the room there and what kind of mood people are in?
It was not particularly optimistic. It wasn't dire pessimism. In some ways, it's hard to remember just how dire things were 2 years ago, exactly this time. We had fallen off a cliff at that point, and we didn't know if we were ever going to hit ground. I would say where we are now is we've hit the ground, and now we're climbing up the hill, but it's going to be a long and painful climb. The economy's predicted to grow 3% this year and 3.5% next year, which is great. Of course, we'd like it to grow faster than that, but positive economic growth is surely better than negative. The problem is the jobs are not coming as quickly as the economy is going to grow. And so many North Carolinians have lost their jobs, and it's just going to take us a real long time until we get to where North Carolina has the same number of jobs it had 3 years ago.
One of the panels there I was interested in watching or listening to was the Build as a State Budget sort of updater panel, where the governor, the state budget director, was there along with some Republican legislative leaders. And they didn't seem to have many details about how they were going to balance the budget, and yet they continue to say we're not going to raise any new revenue. Is that the plan?
Like everyone else, I'm immensely interested in knowing where they're going to go with this. Now, as everyone knows, in these last elections in November, the Republicans are now in charge of both the Senate and the House, so they are the chief budget writers. When we were in control over the last prior 2 years, as well as before that, I've only served 2 years. In the 2 years I was there, we had a $4.5 billion shortfall, and we approached it in a balanced fashion where we primarily cut state government, shrunk state government by about $3 billion. But we also use some recovery funds and we use some temporary revenues. But for every dollar we raised in revenue, we cut $2 out of state government. And so we have already trimmed state government back substantially. The whole time we were in charge, they kept criticizing our budgets, but without offering specific. They are now in charge, and I, like everyone else, are very curious to see what specific ideas they have in mind.
One of the, I guess, things they're saying now is that they're waiting for the governor's budget. She has to present a budget to the General Assembly early this year, I guess in a month or two. Do you have any sense of what she's going to propose? She seemed to, in one end-of-year interview, rule out any new revenue, and the next end-of-year interview seemed to be more open to at least continuing the tax package that was passed in 2009.
I do not at this point know what she's going to have, so obviously I'm interested in that as well.
What about her plans to reorganize government?
I think they're good. I think they're good. It is important periodically, and one good thing about tough economic times is it forces you to do this, but it's good periodically to revisit how you're structured, how you're organized. You don't want to be organized inefficiently or with redundancies. And I think shrinking the number of departments, you're not reducing the number of core services the state provides. We will still have to have an adult prison system and a juvenile prison system, but potentially you don't need to have duplicative personnel people or duplicative IT people. There are redundancies that hopefully can be minimized. And so I think it's a positive.
The governor's mentioned privatization of some, maybe the ABC structure and some other state agencies or some state functions. That was also a discussion this past week. Should we be looking at privatization?
It depends on the service. If the service can be provided as well or better for less money by the private sector, then the private sector should do that instead of the state. It used to be the state used to build all its own buildings. Now the state will hire out contractors who build those buildings for it. I mean, so in that way, privatization can make sense. On the ABC board, I'm a little bit concerned because North Carolina could sell more liquor if we wanted, But liquor is not something that is a public good. People want to drink, people should drink. I'm not a teetotaler. I'm not a moralist on this. But it's also not something we should be promoting, I don't think. And I've lived in New England where there is a liquor store with chain link on every single corner. And I don't think that's particularly a better way to live than what we have in North Carolina, where each county that wants it has a few ABC stores. North Carolina gets the third most revenue out of alcohol sales per capita of any state in the country, and yet our alcohol consumption is something like 46th or 47th per capita, which to me is the right balance. You want to have people have it available, but not too available.
Another thing that you haven't been a fan of is the video poker industry. The governor has said that that is on the table. House Speaker-to-be Tillis actually told us in an interview that that's on the table. There's a lot of discussion from the industry about how much money that could raise. Are you concerned that there will be a proposal this year that people will be interested in to revive the video poker industry?
I think that would be a terrible idea. Video poker is not, again, something that we want on every street corner. If you drive around the state and you see them in these strip malls and you spend any time in them, they are exceptionally depressing places. These are people who don't have money to spend, but because their life circumstances aren't ideal, they're hoping that they're going to hit that jackpot. And I've gotten really poignant letters from constituents and people around the state who say, get rid of these things. I can't stop myself. And, you know, we can't be too paternalistic, but the state has made a decision that they're going to get into this business to some extent with the lottery. Why we would want to make gambling more available and more widely accessible with much less regulation is beyond me.
You have been elected Senate Minority Whip. You mentioned this, you know, last session was your first term. This will be your first term in the minority. And I wondered what your thoughts are about being a leader in the minority, but also being in the minority itself, and what sort of different role that puts you in as a senator.
Well, I sat on the last row last time, so I'm still in the back bench. But no, it will be substantially different. And for me, the last term, every kind of couple month period was a new experience for me because there's a rhythm to a legislative session and it was all new. Well, it's now going to be all new over again because it will be a different perspective. The people who are leading the Senate and also the House, Speaker Tillis, President Pro Tem Berger, then you look at the appropriations chairs, Brunstetter and Stevens, these are all good guys who are smart and want to do the right thing. So I'm interested in seeing how they govern. I mean, in large way, my experience will be dictated on how they choose to be. Do they allow debate so that where we do have real differences, we're able to voice those differences and have those differences voted on, or are they going to squash it? And really, it's in their hands what my experience is like, and I hope that they are open and confident about their ideas so we can debate those ideas.
And before I let you go, I have to ask you a question about the mental health system, and specifically Dorothea Dix in Wake County. There's a lot of advocates that are upset that it's closing. There's still a lot of concern about the availability of beds, especially in crisis. Should we be closing Dix?
We shouldn't be closing Dix. The reform efforts over the prior decade haven't worked the way they intended to. We are improving them. That there's better oversight in the last couple of years. That said, we need those beds. We need that care because there are families for whom it makes the difference between survival or not. There hopefully will be an effort by the legislature, and I intend to participate, to object to the secretary's plan to close Dix and to keep it open. That's our goal.
Well, we appreciate the work you're doing. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
Up next, the worst case budget cuts may not be enough. Stay tuned.